Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you for hanging in there and staying tuned. We're looking forward to what we're going to learn today in this broadcast. We're talking about, as we face the issues, strange teachings and teachers. And ladies and gentlemen, we've just got to the point we're talking about now. What's causing this? What's causing the breakdown? What is the fundamental foundation, rudimentary, elemental rationale and reason behind it? What's happening and why are these things taking place? As I spoke a moment ago, number one, we have abandoned the Word of God. The Word of God is being abandoned today in pulpits and in pews, no less, ladies and gentlemen, for the most part, as you find in the Unitarian Universalist Church, where the Unitarian Universalist Church can stand up, the preacher can stand up, read a portion of the Sunday newspaper, and then have that as his fundamental foundation for what he's teaching and saying from the pulpit. We've abandoned the Word of God. No longer, I'm talking about now in religious denominations, no longer is thus saith the Word of God the foundation for preaching and teaching in the overwhelming majority of our denominations today. Ladies and gentlemen, if the Word of God were the fundamental foundation of biblical preaching and teaching, there would not be the embracing of the LGBTQ sodomite movement. If the Word of God were the fundamental foundational rationale and the elemental truth for preaching and teaching in our churches today, there would not be the embracing of pot. There will not be the embracing of the homosexual lifestyle and the murder by way of abortion. There will not be the embracing of what is called sin, biblically speaking, would not be embraced. That it's happening today because the Word of God has been abandoned. And now, for the most part, ladies and gentlemen, that is so subtle that most Christians have not recognized, not noticed it, not understood it. In fact, very recently had someone, this is not pointing to South, but had someone recently that had visited our church and were complimentary after the services about they had not heard an expository exegetical message like that in a long, long time. And ladies and gentlemen, what other book should we preach from? What other book should we teach from? What else should be the fundamental foundation of what we're preaching and teaching itself, thus saith the Word of God? The second reason, ladies and gentlemen, that we've come to the point where we have these strange teachings and strange teachers, not only we've abandoned God's Word, but we've banned prayer, we've banned the Bible, we've banned Jesus, we've banned the cross, not just in political arena, but also in most denominations today. How do I say that? Why do I say that? Because, ladies and gentlemen, what is called social justice today, is the modern philosophical rhetoric that's being embraced from pulpits. Social justice says that the feeding of the hungry, the clothing of the naked, the protection of those that are out in the world need the, how would you say, the supermen to protect them. There's the mindset that social justice, including feminism, social justice coming out of liberation theology of many, many years ago, ultimately became black liberation theology in the late 60s by Dr. Cohn. And now it is in most denominations, and it's viewed as, couched as social justice. And in social justice, it's the modern philosophy that embraces everything. You do not want to tell anybody that anybody is sin. You don't want to say that sin, call sin, sin. The LGBTQ agenda has been embraced. The appeasing of sin in order to get by. You see, ladies and gentlemen, here's a problem. Because of the apostasy that's taking place today, the falling away that's taking place today, the numbers that are absolutely sliding in every denomination and in every church. You can take mega churches, major churches, large churches, small churches. The numbers, nickels and noses, are being depleted. And so there's the mindset, I've got to do something to retain those that are coming and to get others to come in. And so how do you do that? It's through a social justice, progressive doctrinal teaching, as it is called. That doctrine means teaching. A progressive agenda where you're teaching social justice and the philosophy of embracing every sin and not calling sin, sin. You'll not hear Joel Osteen talk about anybody going to heaven, hell from the pulpit. You'll not hear any of these prosperity gospel preachers talking about anything other than send your money so that God's going to bless you. It's bribing God, making God a holy horseshoe or a divine rabbit's foot so that God becomes the water boy and we become God. That's exactly what it is. But we're talking about those two things now as the major. So that sets the stage for the balance of what I want us to understand today as we face the issue. And the issue that we're talking about is strange teachings and teachers. Therefore, ladies and gentlemen, one of the latest false teachers on the forefront is Beth Moore. Perhaps you've heard that name. Beth Moore comes out of a background of being on television and being brought into some of the churches with tights on and teaching the ladies gymnastics and other things of that nature, exercise and aerobics and so forth in the churches. It grew from that where they started asking her to teach Bible studies. It grew from that where not just teaching a ladies Bible study, where she was accepting men into her Bible study class, and then she started in her television being all promulgated, paid for, pushed, and promoted by the Southern Baptist Convention through Lifeway Books. She has written many, many, many books and printed material. In fact, multitudes believe that she's not even written those, that her name's being, as one writer put it, slapped on the covers so that it'd market, there'd be a marketing tool for Lifeway Books, which is the publishing arm, the publishing division of Southern Baptist Convention. But Beth Moore and I stepped on the stage. Beth Moore, a number of years ago, was that Bible teacher for ladies' seminars, leading prayer and Bible studies for wives and mothers and young ladies. But because of promotion and pride and popularity, Beth Moore today has recently taken many positions, and she's taken on the position that are totally, in most of her positions, that's totally unbiblical and heretical. I know that's a powerful statement. And perhaps you're listening, you've read Beth Moore's material, perhaps you've been to her seminars, perhaps you think she walks on water, perhaps you think that somehow, some way that I ought not be talking about that. There's some that think that. There's some that think that somehow, some way that truth ought to be left under the cover, that truth ought to be something that you do not talk about, that somehow, some way you can have sin, you can have false teaching, false theology, and false doctrine, and you just leave that hidden and don't say anything about it, and it's okay. It's the old ostrich approach, that you hide your head under the sand and bury your head in the sand and not say anything about it, and it'll go away. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this phenomena of false teachers, strange teachings, and strange teachers is not going away. It's getting worse and worse. There's more and more of that taking place today, and we need to be aware of it, need to be concerned about it. And because of the promotion that she's been getting from the Lifeway Books, because of self-pride, and because of her growing popularity, Beth Moore today has taken many positions that are totally unbiblical and are totally heretical. Beth Moore now attacks the conservative, biblical conservative Christian, and calls them the ones that are wrong, calls us as being wrong. Let me just read you that. Here's an article that says, Beth Moore labels Christians against homosexuality as hyper-fundamentalist. Hyper-fundamentalist. That's what I'm called now. That's what you're called if you believe what the Word of God says about sodomites. Ladies and gentlemen, homosexuality and gay, those words are not found in the Bible. 38 times the word sodomy and sodomites are found. And yet Beth Moore says, labels Christians, listen, if you're a Christian that stands against homosexuality, if you're a Christian that believes that the Bible says homosexuality is a sin and ought to be avoided, if you believe that, Beth Moore has just called you a hyper-fundamentalist. Here's the article, and I'm just going to read little blurbs from it. It's a three-page article, and it ought to be understood in context in which it is coming. In a continued social media meltdown, Beth Moore labeled Christians explicitly opposed to homosexuality as hyper-fundamentalist. Well, now, before going any further, well, let me read, and then I'll talk about it. Moore was referencing her Christian critics who have repeatedly asked her to clarify her position on homosexuality, noticing her leftward drift. It was revealed over the Independence Day holiday that Moore has deleted anti-homosexual passages from her newer Kindle versions of the latest of her books, thus covering up any evidence that she opposed homosexuality in the past. Her friends in the Southern Baptist Convention have been out in full force attacking her critics today, with one ERLC board member claiming that discernment blogs are big threats to the Southern Baptist Convention. According to Beth Moore, if you think that backpedaling on homosexuality is wrong, you are a hyper-fundamentalist. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over with your question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood, I'm glad that you're speaking today about people teaching from books, but not the book. And I always go to Leviticus 10, you know, where it talks about the strange fire that the sons of the priest put on the altar, and that ended badly for them. But it is frightening, isn't it, how the young people are getting caught up in the strange teachings that are coming from some of the pulpits. It's really unnerving and so unbiblical. So I'm just really proud of you that you're willing, you know, to address the issues. But I do love the way Leviticus 10, you know, talks about it. And you know, God struck them down right away. Yes. He didn't even wait.
Yes.
So thank you. We should
be very, very thankful for God's long suffering and his patience. Yes, thank you so much for bringing that up. You're exactly right. It is strange fire. And ladies and gentlemen, listen, if you go back and see where Moses went in and threw down his rod before Pharaoh, and he picked it up, he turned to a snake, picked it up, and turned back to his rod, indicating that God had empowered him to lead the children of Israel. And when you understand then that the king, Pharaoh, had his false teachers to come in, and they threw down their rods, and it turned into a serpent. But the end result was that Moses' serpent swallowed up their serpent, showing that God's word is more powerful. God is more powerful than the false teachings. We have that strange fire today, that strange teaching today that's being taught, and multitudes of anemic, ignorant, unlearned Christians look at it as being phenomenal, supernatural, and something different. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to announce to you that it is supernatural when those things take place, but it's not a supernatural power from God. It's a supernatural power from Satan himself. Satan is capable of and very, very able to perform signs, miracles, and wonders that will cause you to believe a lie rather than believing the truth. This is the reason in the last days you'll see in Revelation, the 13th chapter, where Satan, through his false prophet, will be able to raise the dead, be able to call down fire from heaven. And the whole world, according to Revelation 13, verse 3, 4, and 5, will follow after the Antichrist because of this strange fire, these strange things, because of what he's able to do through the false prophet that will be on the scene in that day. We're listening to and talking about that which is happening. And multitudes today are caught up in it because of illiteracy of the Word of God. This is the reason it is so important for the false teachers, the false preachers, to discount, to dilute, to simply divorce themselves from the truth of the Word of God so that they can say whatever they want to say in order to get the pride, the prestigious promotions that they're looking for. This article I'm talking about now, where Beth Moore labels Christians against homosexuality is hyper-fundamentalist. What is a fundamentalist, ladies and gentlemen? Have you ever thought of that? Back in the early 80s, Jerry Falwell had published a journal, a magazine called The Fundamentalist Journal. What does it mean to be a fundamentalist? Someone asked me on one occasion, said, are you a fundamentalist? I said, absolutely. If you're talking about believing in the fundamentals of the faith, the fundamentals of what the Word of God says, the fundamentals of thus saith God's Word, absolutely I'm a fundamentalist. And that's where it ought to be for every Christian. We need to be fundamentalists in the sense that we believe the fundamentals of the faith. We believe what's fundamentally stated in the Word of God without dilution, without distraction, without in any way trying to take away from what God's Word says, but in the totality of what God's Word says. And here's Beth Moore now, openly criticizing Christians that believe that the Word of God says that homosexuality is a sin. It is something that I find absolutely antithetical to the Word of God. It is, and I start with that, talking about Beth Moore and what Beth Moore is doing. And she's not by herself. She's one that I happen to be speaking about today, but she's one of the social justice warriors. It's Beth Moore that is talking about heretical things. Here's one that says, Louding, L-A-U-D-I-N-G, heretics, Eugene Peterson, Beth Moore compares him to Beethoven. Then the article reads this way. This is July the 1st of 2019, ladies and gentlemen. An advocate of the now largely defunct emergent church, Peterson, actually encouraged people not to read or study the Bible. Peterson created a Bible paraphrase that was at least like the Bible in as humanly possible, because Peterson wanted people to avoid God's Word as much as possible. The article further says, Beth Moore is to a serious theologian what Alexander or Cortez is to political scientist. She's a woman who's lived well past her cuteness when she first got attention as a church aerobics instructor in tights. Then the article further says, others in discernment believe that it was because became increasingly apparent that Lifeway ghostwriters had written her books and her Bible studies. They slap her name on across it as a marketing tool because when Beth Moore speaks without the filter on an editing board, her vast ignorance of theology is palpable. And the article further says this, and I'm going to read you what Beth Moore said in her statement. We have Beethoven among us, Jane Austen, Steinbeck, inventors, discoverers, but if this culture has its way, they may never materialize. Who will be the Eugene Petersons, spending years learning biblical languages, then eons of long hours slowly, meticulously translating them? Ladies and gentlemen, he didn't translate them. He was not a linguist. He simply paraphrased the scripture. And by the way, Eugene Peterson died October of 2018. And in 2017, a year before his death, he came out in full support of sodomite marriages and the LGBTQ agenda that's permeating society and literally breaking down church doors to invade churches and pulpits across America today. We need to be concerned when we hear somebody praising false teachers, false preachers, and those that are teaching strange doctrine and presenting strange truths, if you could call it truth. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, Beth Moore praises heretics, and they have diluted the Word of God. They've also embraced homosexuality. Could it be that Beth Moore is actually illiterate on what God's Word says about God and God's Word? Here's an article that says it more, how would you say, clearly than I could. This article says, Beth Moore declares spending time with God and spending time with the Bible are not the same thing. Now, in case you think you misheard me, in case you think that I misquoted something, let me read it again. Beth Moore declares, quote, spending time with God and spending time with the Bible are not the same thing. The article reads this way. If we haven't stated it 1,000 times, or in case you missed it in the past, Beth Moore is undoubtedly a false teacher. The well-known lady preacher and popular Bible study author, Beth Moore, makes an astonishing declaration that spending time in God's Word is not the same as spending time with God. I say astonishing, chiefly because Beth Moore, who spends most of her free time admonishing innocent men to get on their knees to apologize on behalf of other men for mistreating women while holding hands with Marxists, is actually quite known for bellowing out ludicrous assertions about the scripture and her lack of knowledge about them. Further, the article states Beth Moore, who claims that she receives special, direct, divine revelation from God, is dangerously primarily because of her influence in conservative evangelical circles. If she didn't run around with Southern Baptist leaders and peddle her rubbish in the convention's flagship store, Lifeway, her rantings would be far less concerning. But the scriptures admonish us to warn against those who are feeding feverishly among the flock. And the article further says, a quote directly from Beth Moore, spending time with God and spending time with the Bible are not the same. The Bible is the Word of God, crucial to knowing Him, but it's not God. We can study the Bible until the second coming and leave God completely out of it. We can grow in facts and never grow in a whit in faith, end quote. That's directly from Beth Moore. Ladies and gentlemen, what is the Bible? It is God put in print. It is the written, revealed revelation of God to man. It is from Genesis through the book of Revelation. It is God identifying himself with man, revealing himself to man. Studying the Word of God is to know God better. And yet she denies that. This article further says, of course, spending time in Scripture is the same as spending time with God. You know that, and I know that. You cannot know God any other way. It's how He speaks to us, according to the Scripture. Yes, you can spend time with Him in prayer as well, and you can spend time with Him in worship. The Scriptures are God's full and complete revelation to us. It informs us of all matters of faith in Him, including prayer and worship. ladies and gentlemen, Beth Moore is now dissecting it and saying that it is simply not knowing God by knowing and reading the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, it goes back to what took place in Genesis, the third chapter. In Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 1, the Scripture says, with Satan coming to Eve, and it says, yea, hath God said. And then the balance of Genesis 3 is the record of the fall of man, where man fell, and as a result of man's fall, sin entered the world, and death by sin, and therefore death passed upon all men, for that all hath sinned, according to Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Ladies and gentlemen, in Genesis, the third chapter, when Satan steps in, he brings about doubt to the Word of God. He dilutes the Word of God. He denies the Word of God. He brings delusion upon the Word of God. And ultimately, there's disobedience to God's Word. And the end result of the doubt and the dilution and the denial and the delusion of the Word of God brings about disobedience. And disobedience, ladies and gentlemen, brings about death. And it's very, very clear in the Scripture, ladies and gentlemen, that we ought not to take anything from the Word of God or add anything to the Word of God. Now, that is found in four places in the Scripture. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Ladies and gentlemen, then, that's in Deuteronomy 4, 2, and in Deuteronomy 12, 32, it says, what things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. And then it's found also, ladies and gentlemen, in Proverbs chapter 30, and verse 5 and 6, the Scripture says this, every word of God is pure. It is the shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou shalt be found a liar. And then, ladies and gentlemen, the last place that it is found in the Bible is in Revelation chapter 22, verse 19. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if it's in there just one time, that's sufficient. But four times God says, don't dilute, don't deny, don't disobey, don't take away a distract from my word. And yet you find people like Beth Moore and Joel Osteen and others that will dilute the word of God, deny the word of God, disobey the word of God, and now saying that if you as a fundamentalist conservative Christian, that if you believe that homosexuality is sin, then you're the one that's a hyper-fundamentalist. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes. You know, you've preached a sermon many times dealing with the different soils, the seeds and the sower, and you've got the different soils. Can you give like the Cliff Notes version of that in about 10 or 15 seconds?
And, well, you've got the sower. The sower is Jesus Christ. The seed is the Word of God. And there are four different types of soil. One of the soil is deep, and it allows the penetration of the plant to go down and make roots and bring up fruit. And the other three soils are those that where the seed fall on stony heart or stony ground, and then the birds come and pluck it away. That's Satan coming and taking it out of your heart. There are those that the seed will be sown. It looks like it's going to take root, but it's shallow roots. And then the cares of life will destroy it and take it away. The need to understand in the seed, the soil, and the sower is that seed, it's the Word of God. Without the Word of God, there is no production of fruit. There's no salvation.
Right. And what gets me, though, is the fact that you can't force fit Calvinism on top of that message.
No, it's an impossibility.
You know, for these folks that are so very hung up on that false doctrine, there's so many points in Scripture that you go, how in the world do you make this fit with your doctrine? And I think you kind of alluded to it earlier, perhaps even covered it in depth. I may have missed it. If you ask a Calvinist, you know, if a person refuses to accept, to believe, to confess with the mouth, can this individual, if they're chosen, can they still go to heaven? You know, but they didn't do these things? And
no,
somehow or another, the position doesn't have any basis in Scripture, but it also it uproots anything that makes sense throughout the rest of Scripture. You know, there's so much reliance on, and I've heard many folks that are steeped in Calvinism. I love many. I think they're sincere. They're just sincerely wrong. But many times they focus so much on the sovereignty of God that they truly make God the author of evil.
In fact, in the depth of the study of Calvinism, they say that God created evil and that he is the author of evil because he is the one that's in control. He created evil. And most of them, you'll find just about any Calvinist, especially if it's a Calvinist preacher, he will hang his hat on Arthur Pink's book called The Sovereignty of God. It's about a 500-page book or a little less, 350, 450 pages. I've read the book. I'm familiar with the book. I have the book in my library. They go to seed on that. And Arthur Pink destroys the doctrine of the sovereignty of God because he destroys the free will of man. And it's antithetical to the truth of the Scripture. God created Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were the first human beings that God created. He gave them intellectual ability. He gave them mind, will, and emotion. He gave them the volitional choice, and they made a decision. God said, don't. They did. That was the free will of man. And it goes through the Scripture. But, Greg, let me ask you a question. In talking about that, we find also the false doctrine, the false teaching of Beth Moore. And Beth Moore doesn't know, but a minuscule amount of anything that we call biblical truth, but it goes deeper than that. Is she doing that which is contrary to the Scripture in preaching and now being a preacher, going into churches and preaching? Is that antithetical to the Scripture, or can a woman be a preacher? Does God give in his word the authority to a woman, for a woman? I don't care how spiritual she is. Does God give the woman the responsibility of being a pastor?
It is damaging to realize that we have pulpits across America where pastors or elders within that church allow that woman to come in and preach. I think she's probably said a lot of wonderful things, and she's probably taken a lot of really good positions. But the Scripture is infinitely clear in that the pastor is to be the husband of one wife. I mean, you get a series of qualifiers for the pastor leadership within a church.
Oh, yes. And 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 4 and following. All of the words in there in the masculine gender, he, and he. It's an impossibility for a she to be a he.
And it's not taking it at all away from women who have the ability to teach and to proclaim the gospel. Matter of fact, you know, when we're told to go and tell, that's not limited. That's for all believers. By the way, on this notion of Calvinism being the author, the sovereignty of God, God being the author of evil, Billy Graham was asked, why, if God is such a loving God, such a kind God, why is there so much corruption and so much evil in the world? And Billy Graham rightly answered the question, God is much like soap. He must be individually applied. And that's what we need to realize. God, the Lord Jesus Christ died for the whole world, but he must be individually applied in our lives.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. Looking to meet you once again on the air as we face the issues.
I-295. You are invited to worship with them. 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.